Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 28. "And the waters returned, and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, I believe your word. I believe it is quick and powerful. I believe that it can do something in our soul. I believe that there's strength. I believe that there's hope. I believe that there's victory in the Word of God. Lord, help me to preach today, and Lord, speak to the people. Lord, minister to the people. The old hymn goes, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen one, tell them of Jesus, mighty to save." Lord, let the people see Jesus. And we're careful to give you the glory, the honor, the praise. And Lord, we worship you. Lord, we magnify your wonderful name. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for deliverance. Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives. And Lord, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've said several times that the Old Testament is a pattern, or let's say the Old Testament history books show a pattern of the events of the life of the sinner that comes to God. We've explained what a type is. A type is something that foreshadows something in the New Testament. Something in the Old Testament, perhaps an event or a person or something that foreshadows something in the New Testament. And as we read the Old Testament and study the historical books and what have you, we see what happened to Israel. And we understand that these things are a picture of what happens to the sinner as he gives his life to God, as he comes to God, as he turns his life over to God, and then as he begins as a Christian to live the Christian life. We've seen in this book of Exodus, and so far, we're only up to chapter 15, and there's more in this book, there's more in the rest of the historical books, but we've seen so far that God sends a deliverer, Moses, to the children of Israel, and he goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." That is the gospel call. That is the gospel call. That's the preaching of the gospel that the sinner would hear. He understands that he's told that Jesus loves him, that Jesus will deliver him, that Jesus died on the cross for him, and that he can have a new life and be forgiven of his sins and be brought out of whatever works of darkness he happens to find himself in. Let my people go. That is the gospel call. Moses spoke to Pharaoh and the Jews. Obviously, Moses, speaking to Pharaoh, said, "Let my people go." But he also spent time talking to those that he came to deliver. He had time to talk with Aaron. He had time to talk with perhaps the leaders. And obviously, he went up into the marketplace or what have you, or in the homes, and had a chance to to minister to them. And there was some kind of doubt or what have you, but the Jews primarily responded in faith. And as the gospel comes to a sinner, he needs to respond in faith. He needs to say, "Yes, I believe these things." But as we read that the Jews suffered for believing Moses, the Jews suffered for Moses going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." We've read about the event where Pharaoh said, "Okay, you have to continue making bricks, but I won't give you any straw," and that the tally of bricks needs to be the same. You see, if you're going to follow God, there's something required of you. Yes, you have to respond in faith, but there's also something else. The Bible speaks of you having to give up certain things. I know in my own life, my family, they at one point got tired of me coming and saying, "Jesus this and the Bible that." And so they began to draw back or what have you. A number of the friends that I had before I became a Christian, they began to drop off one by one. They didn't want to hear anything about what God had done in my life. And I'm sure many of you could give the same testimony. You see, if you come to God, something is required. Yes, salvation is free. Salvation was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's given to us as a free gift. But choosing that gift, we have to make a conscious decision that there's some things that God is going to require that we give up. Our desires, our ambition, our choice of what to do on Friday night, perhaps. There's a change that will come to the Christian. The Bible says that all they that will live godly in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. And then we read about the Passover event. We just finished studying that God delivered the children of Israel by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And we've gone over this, the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel, and the death angel passing over. And obviously they were very shortly after that asked to leave, ejected from Egypt. We know that Egypt is a picture of the world, a type of the world. And Pharaoh, its king, is a type of Satan. If you become a Christian, you're going to have to leave the world. There may be, you may have to again, change what you do on Friday and Saturday night. You may have to change your friends. You may have to change what you do for a living. If you're a bartender or something like that, God may require, and hopefully would require you, to find better employment. But then, this chapter, we're talking about the Red Sea. We're talking about the deliverance that God gave to the children of Israel. And I've not read every verse as I normally do, but we understand the story that God led them up to the brink of the Red Sea. The Egyptians followed, and then God said to Moses, "Take your rod and stretch it over the sea," and that the sea would part. And as we just read, that's exactly what happened. They went through on dry land, the Egyptians followed, and the chariots and what have you, and it says in verse 28, "And the waters returned and covered the chariots." You see, if you decide to live for God, then Satan will bring opposition in your life. But God can overcome that opposition. There are things, perhaps, in your life, and I know some things that were in my life that were a hindrance to me. These things kept me in bondage. I've told this story before that I was addicted to dope. And you say, "What's marijuana? We've got stronger drugs. How come you're a lightweight? How come you only were addicted to marijuana?" It had a hold on me. I didn't really feel like smoking anymore. I didn't want to do it. I tried to get away. And for a year or two, I tried, before I became a Christian, to get away. But if I would go to Fred's house and he'd perhaps reach under the sofa and grab the tray. There was something in me that craved that stuff, and I couldn't get away. And it was affecting my work. It was affecting perhaps my schooling at LSU. It simply was not good. And we know that drugs are not conducive. They don't help anyone. but I was addicted. But the moment I became a Christian, minutes later, literally, I knew that I was delivered. The craving, I knew at that point, was gone. I had since returned to Fred or whoever's house, and they've offered me the stuff, and it's like, I don't even want that anymore. There's a change. There is a change, a deliverance that can come. It came to me. Who knows what you or the next guy will struggle with. But God can deliver. And I'm sort of impressed to think about smoking. I was never a smoker. But if you are addicted to cigarettes, God can deliver you. I don't care about a patch. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. Jesus Christ can deliver you from whatever bondage you happen to be in. We can go through the Gospels, for instance. We can think about the man that was at the pool, and he struggled when the angel troubled the water. He struggled to get in. He did what he could to make his way down, and he never could, obviously. But Jesus lifted him up and said, "Be healed." We can think about all the different people that were perhaps blind or couldn't walk. We can think about all the different, the man with the withered hand, for instance, that Jesus healed in the temple. Maybe it was a synagogue, I forget. If you have troubles in your life, God can deliver you. God can set you free. God can help you. And we find that deliverance, again, in a picture form shown at the Red Sea, in the great deliverance that God gave to the Jews. The next chapter, chapter 15, and I'll read just a very brief portion of it. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." And it goes on for several more verses here. And it praises God for who he is, for what he's done, for what he can do. Of his majesty it speaks of. And praise is something that the Christian, that's something that he begins to do. When you were a sinner, and I understand that there are many religious people in this town. I understand that New Orleans is a Catholic city and everyone and his brother-in-law goes to church. Goes to Mass. I understand that. And there's that religious environment, and not to be unkind, but it's a form of godliness. But truly, it denies the power thereof. I'm saying that you can be delivered from alcoholism. I'm saying that you can be delivered from depression. I'm saying that you can have a change in your life, and very rarely do we see that kind of change come out of the Catholic Church. But as a person is born again and begins to know the Lord, begins to understand the Word of God and attends hopefully a good church and hears this glorious gospel preached, he begins to thank God for what God has done in his life. He begins to praise God. It may be a little halting at first. He may have to be instructed, but he begins to praise God, as I did earlier in this program. Thanking God for what he has done and giving honor and glory to the Lord. This is not a natural thing. Praising God is unnatural, completely unnatural. But it is natural for a Christian to worship the Lord. And I'd like to do it again. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful things that you have done in my life. Thank you that you delivered me. Thank you that you healed me when I was sick. Thank you, Lord, that you encouraged me when I needed it. Thank you, Lord, that you kept me in the faith. Thank you, Lord, that when I perhaps wanted to stray a little bit in doctrine, that you brought me back. And again, Lord, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to preach your word. Lord, we praise you. Lord, I praise you. And you see, that's something that the Christian does, but it's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And you really can't praise the Lord. You really can't glorify him, until you know him and have that personal relationship that we so often speak of. And it says here in verse 20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, and also of Moses, incidentally, took a timbrel or a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. But the next verse here, we read in verse 22 again of Exodus chapter 15, So Moses brought the children of Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now this is the desert. This is something that we see on TV. We know what the Middle East looks like. They went three days into the wilderness or the desert, and they found no water. And obviously that's very critical. They need to have something to drink. And in verse 23 it says, And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for it was bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitter. There was water there. And they were thirsty. They didn't have anything for 3 days, but they could not drink because the waters were bitter. And the people, and here we go again in verse 24, And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And then it says, And then he made a statute and an ordinance and whatever. And I'll get to that in a second. But they were thirsty. And they had water that was available to drink, but they couldn't because it was bitter. I don't know if it had some kind of chemical or something. It wasn't fit to drink. And as I started out this program, I said that these historical events that are recorded, they show us what happens to us as Christians, as sinners starting out, but as Christians, the things that happen to us as we begin to worship the Lord and to follow Him. And this shows us, once we get saved, as a new Christian, he really doesn't know what to do. Maybe somebody gave him a Bible, maybe somebody took him to church, but he really doesn't know what to do. And on Friday or Saturday night comes along and he says, Well, I want to go to the bar. Or, you know, maybe somebody offers him some dope or something, or maybe his girlfriend says, Hey, let's go dancing or whatever. But those things, he finds very shortly, they're bitter. They don't satisfy. Christ has come into his heart, and he realizes all the wonderful things that God did. They don't compare with the things that used to satisfy. I used to do a number of things before I became a Christian, and now I wouldn't think of doing. First off, they're wrong, and I know that, but there's simply no enjoyment in them anymore. The bitter waters of Marah. And then so the Christian begins to thirst for something that does satisfy. And it says in verse 25, And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And that tree is a symbol of the cross. That tree foreshadows the cross of Calvary. You allow the cross into your life, and God will give you waters that are sweet to drink. God will satisfy the thirst in your soul. Before I became a Christian, I guess literally for about 8 or 10 years, I suffered with depression. It started when I was very young. And through the years, I guess it progressed. And by the time I got to LSU, there were times, that was about a year or two, where every day, I don't know how I stood it. It felt like I was dying inside. It felt like I was completely empty and devoid of anything. Nothing I tried to do would satisfy. I did a little drugs that really didn't do anything. I did some other things. But I would walk from my dorm to class or something. Or maybe after class, I'd walk over to Chime Street or State Street or something, maybe to go to the store or something, just walking across campus. It was, I could remember it like it was yesterday. I was in such pain and agony inside, emptiness and despair and hopelessness. But when I became a Christian, God began to take that away from me. God helped me. As a matter of fact, the day I became a Christian, like I said, it was November 30th, 1984. I had a glorious time. I had a wonderful time. I knew that God had changed my life. The next morning, I remember waking up in my dorm room, and I was instantly awake, and I knew, hey, something happened to me yesterday. And was it real? Was I just fooling myself? Is this thing real? And a few seconds later, and again, I remember these events like they were yesterday, the Lord moved in my heart. The Spirit of God moved in my heart. And I had an assurance that I was born again, that I was changed. And I got up off my bed and I was so happy that this thing is real. This thing is real. But the bitter waters of Marah. Perhaps you remember this story. Everybody knows Naaman the leper, that he went down and he was healed of his leprosy. In 2 Kings chapter 5, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, a young teenage girl, or what have you. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Now you stop and think about that. It doesn't mention any other person here being taken away captive, stolen, kidnapped, whatever. And in olden cultures, that was common, that you would take somebody from the neighboring tribe or something, and you would make them a slave. And it's kind of a trophy of the battle or what have you. But this little maid, this little teenage girl, this Jew, she knew the Lord. She knew that God was with her people. But she found herself in another country, living in a strange household, all her family gone, all her friends gone. If she went to school, her classmates or whatever the case, she figured that she was never going to see them again. And she had every right to hate Naaman. She had every right to hate Naaman's wife. She had every right, perhaps, I guess, to blame God and say, well, Lord, look what happened to me. How could you let this happen to me? And maybe some of you listening, something terrible has happened in your life. I know that it's common. We read that young children are sexually abused. Or maybe you're sitting here listening and your father was killed in a car wreck and he's dead and you don't know what to do. There's all sorts of things that we could say that this little girl represents us today. But in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now you think about that. She had every right to despise these people that had stolen her from her family and were keeping her captive and making her work as a slave. But she knew the Lord. She knew the Lord, and she knew that there was a prophet in Samaria that could deliver this man that had taken her captive. And we can read the rest of the story, that he went and dipped in the River Jordan and was made free and made whole. And we can read the rest of the story. We know that he went to dip in the River Jordan and he was healed of his leprosy. But look at the life of that little girl. Look at what God had done in her life. You can look at the life of Joseph. He was thrown in a pit and sold into slavery. The name of his two children, his two sons, were Forgive and Forget. God can do something. the bitter waters of Marah, God can change, God can heal, God can make those waters sweet. If you look at your life and say, I'm a failure, I'm ruined, well, they did this to me, or I don't have this or that, or whatever excuse that life was thrown at you to put you down, God can heal the bitter waters of Marah. Don't let skin color hold you down. God can do something in your life. God is greater than skin color. You know, we don't need shrinks. We don't need social workers. We don't need counseling. And we don't have to go to alcohol or drugs or suicide for an escape. There's healing. There's deliverance. There is a balm of Gilead. God can help you. God can help you. God can heal your heart. God can heal your spirit. He can change your life. If you look to Him and don't look to any of these other places, God can help you. God can deliver you. Put your trust in Him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.